Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll be talking to Steve about the 49ers' thrilling win in Seattle.
Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson back. Wilson throws, caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line and dropped by Dre Greenlaw. He is short. 49ers come away with the ball. The 49ers have stopped Hollister on the goal line. The 49ers are going to win the game.
Well, we better stop looking at this replay because we remember what happened against the Atlanta Falcons.
Wilson is saying it's a touchdown. Is it coming down to a replay? The 49ers sideline is erupting like they have won the game and won the NFC West.
Well, this last play.
The coaches are picking up all their bags and heading out of here, but hold on. Either way, it's either you win or lose. There's no more time on the clock. It is over.
After review, completed pass receiver was down short of the goal line.
49ers win!
San Francisco will take over on downs. First down.
The 49ers have won.
And here's what Dre Greenlaw had to say after the game, after the stop that he made that saved the game for San Francisco.
It was in quarter halves. And, you know, they came out of empty. So, you know, we went the quarters both sides. And in the back, he flared out to the flat real fast. It was actually in gunfire, sorry. And he flared out to the flat real fast. And, you know, I knew they was probably going to have a slant behind me. So I kind of pushed out wide for the slant. And then, all practice coaches telling me just, you know, look at the quarterback eyes. You know, whenever the back go to the flat fast. And I saw the quarterback was looking away and, you know, just saw where he was trying to go. And just credit to my coaches and credit to my teammates for, you know, just helping me and, you know, just make the play. Yeah, I mean, I just knew that, I had my foot on the goal line and, you know, I knew that they had to get in the touchdown, in the end zone in order to score, in order to win the game. So, I just made sure that, you know, I kept my feet on the goal line and, you know, and just play lateral to downhill and, made a tackle that, you know, my coaches and teammates would be proud of and, just excited about how the game ended and, you know, just thankful to be able to make the play.
Jimmy G had this reaction to the 49ers win.
Let's go!
Come on, one step closer. Keep this thing rolling, baby.
Let's go!
Before we talk about the 49ers Week 17 win in Seattle and look ahead to the playoffs, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Steve, I would say that the 49ers escaped with a win in Seattle. That's really the the word I want to use because, I mean, they do it right down to the very end. And, of course, it was so significant to get the number one seed, and they do it in a place where they had lost eight in a row. They had not scored more than 20 points in Seattle since 2008. But this time they get it done right there at the wire, 26-21. What a game. I mean, this is one of the best games, and there have been so many of them for the 49ers, especially lately, every game going down to the wire. But this game was just scintillating.
They've all been just amazing. And, yeah, this was, I mean, what did I hear? Seven times somebody said that they had a shot at it.
At winning the game there at the end,
at winning the game,
that's right.
I mean, obviously the delay of game, and actually, I've heard people calling it a delay of game, but if I remember correctly, during the game, the official signaled illegal procedure. I'd have to go back and watch. I could have sworn he did that, and I was like, why was that? Why was that illegal procedure? I don't remember what he said. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. In hindsight, if I was correct. Anyway, well, I mean, just to think that Marchand I just drew a blank on his name. That Beast Mode was going to go out there and get the ball. I mean, he was going to get the ball and jump over, and that they had a different idea. When he ran on, I thought, okay, bootleg. They're not going to give it to him. There's no way. I mean, because everybody in the stadium knows, or everybody in the stadium thinks they're going to give it to him, just like in the Super Bowl when they should have given it to him and they lost.
Right.
So in my mind, I was like, okay, this is a total setup. This is a bootleg. But neither of them happened, and they got the delay of game, which helped us tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, that it really is inexcusable for any team to have that happen. They get down to the one, they spike it, and I guess what happened, and I saw the explanation from Pete Carroll, is that they kind of relaxed a little bit there when they spiked it, thinking they had more time than they really did, because the play clock starts right after the spike.
It starts again.
Yeah, yeah. And they're trying to get a different personnel group out there. They wanted to get Marshawn Lynch out there to possibly, like you said, whether it's bootleg or not. And then,
he did say that they were trying to get him out there.
They were trying to get him out there, but then they're huddling up. It wasn't even close. They didn't even get to the line of scrimmage. They're huddling up when the clock ran out.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess technically it becomes when you don't have any timeouts, I guess it becomes a delay of game.
Yeah, they had no timeouts. They couldn't stop it. Yeah.
Because sometimes it, I guess that's if a guy gets hurt, right? If a guy goes down, if he's hurt, then it's a 10-second runoff.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have. Yeah, but nobody was hurt. I mean, it was just
nobody was hurt. Yeah,
it was
a spike. Okay, it becomes delay of game. Which, yeah, I mean, that would make more sense that they just didn't hustle out there. I mean, get back in the huddle and go. I would believe that more. Makes a lot more sense.
And there are so many plays to talk about there at the end. Like you said, all of those chances, because, I mean, first of all, they convert on 4th and 10. That was almost a touchdown, but that was, you know, right there at the goal line. They threw to that receiver who hadn't had any catches,
all year, they said.
Yeah. that was Ursua that they threw to. So, yeah, he gets stopped short of the goal. That could have been a touchdown. Could have been a penalty when Warner got run into, but I thought, you know, they were going to call that a pass interference, but I thought he got run into more so than he was trying to cause any havoc there.
I would agree. I think that was a good no call in my mind.
Yeah.
That would have been glad it wasn't called, because there again, it would have been, you know, not holding, would have been pass interference, and obviously an automatic first down. I mean, even if we're holding, it would be automatic first down. But still, it was the right no call in my mind.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you had a tackle. It was Kaywan Williams who kind of saved the day with that tackle on the first down, the 4th and 10 that was converted, because that could have been a touchdown. He saves it. And then the season-saving tackle by Dre Greenlaw, which is something that, you know, everybody's going to be talking about for a long time. People did compare it to Dan Bunn's in the first 49ers Super Bowl. It was just incredible.
I heard somebody else saying that, too, and hadn't really thought about it like that. But then that he also had number 57. Where's number 57? Same as Dan. So that was, you know, that was interesting comparison. But I mean, what a great hit. I mean, it was, you know, a good throw, you know, a good route. And then just a great play by Greenlaw at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those, I don't know if you agree, but it seems like that's one of those where coaching comes into play, not only now, but maybe in the past, like when you're first learning how to play football. I mean, just the way that he was fundamentally set up to make that tackle. I mean, he hit him perfectly, the way he was squared up, and, you know, just so that there's no way he could get his body, the receiver could get his body across the line.
Yeah. Gosh, I hadn't thought about it that way, being being fundamentally sound. There's no question it was. Gosh, I think just more that what a tremendous hit, and he hit him, you know, an upper body that, like you said, I guess fundamentally sound, that kept him from his body falling into the end zone.
Yeah. It was just, I mean,
it was.
Yeah, Hollister thinks he's going in for sure. I mean, it.
Oh, no question.
It reminded me of the play against Atlanta when Julio Jones did go in. It was right at the line, too.
Yeah, I mean, to think that there were two plays like that this year. I mean, one that, and Julio, I mean, that was, I mean, Julio Jones, I mean, without replay, that's not a touchdown. I mean, you can't see that. When you see it on the replay, yes, you're like, okay, that ball crossed
right
for a second. And the one in Seattle, no, it never crossed. His back was down. But to think that two plays like that, what, 3 weeks apart, 2 weeks apart, crazy. I mean, these guys have – they've made plays. I mean, that's the bottom line. They made plays when they needed to.
49ers Extra continues after this from TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for Tee Time Deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. By the way, getting back to that play with Fred Warner on the no call, the NFL, actually, there was a statement made by Senior Vice President Al River, and he said that the play was reviewed and they didn't see enough to stop the game. They see the offensive player come in and initiate contact, and the defensive player, nothing that rises to the level of a foul, which significantly hinders the defender. And I agree, because when you see that replay initially, you see the offensive player come in, initiate the contact. But if you see maybe a photo of it, or you catch the replay later, like I saw on Twitter, you know, you catch it later, it looks like pass interference. But you have to see that the receiver kind of drives into him. He does some kind of an in route and runs right into Warner.
Well, and he's trying. I mean, that's what the receiver's trying to initiate some contact and get him on his shoulder to be able to get some leverage, to push off of him. I mean, a lot of times where an offensive guy gets himself in trouble is he, as Homer used to say, use the flipper, not the wing. So basically, if you extend your elbow, extend your hand at your elbow, you're going to get called.
Yeah.
Whereas if you kind of shoulder them and flick them with your wing, with your flipper, you won't get called.
And I think it was Hollister who was in the middle of everything, by the way. he was. And the other guy that, I mean, he's so hard to cover is Metcalf. And I think the 49ers were trying to figure out ways. This guy's 6'4", and he's just strong. And, you know, they had Witherspoon on him, and then Shanahan pulls him out of the game and goes with Mosley. And there's, you know, a little talk about that. Like, why'd you do that? But he was just looking for answers. I mean, there was no way to stop Metcalf.
Guys, just what a physical specimen. It's a tight end out there playing wide receiver.
Exactly.
I mean, he's huge.
He's huge.
And he was Russell's guy there at the end when Lockett got banged up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely the go-to guy there, you know, as they're driving down the field. And, you know, somebody that's tough to stop. But I got to say, I mean, I still think that Witherspoon and even Mosley, they made some plays that saved the day. I mean, you could say, okay, they're giving up some plays, but they're also making some plays too.
They did. They totally did. I mean, that's a thankless job out there on the corner. I mean, you get praised because you knocked the ball down or you intercepted it. There are good plays made out there even when there is a reception and maybe it's only a 5 or 6 yard reception. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's not looked at, I think, by the average fan as a positive play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's not. I know.
I think Kyle's description was pretty accurate. They're just scrambling to try and find any answer at the time. But I think they both played pretty well against him. He's just a bigger, stronger guy.
Yeah, he is. And speaking of scrambling, I mean, the thing about Russell Wilson that makes him so great is that he makes something out of nothing constantly. And I don't care how good your pass rush is. And the Niners' pass rush, I thought, was pretty good. He's going to get around it. He's going to find ways to either, you know, make a play throwing the ball or running it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and even the one to get the first down. I mean, he's, you know, scrambling forward. That kid does a nice job of coming back to the ball, and Russell puts it on him. He threw some really good balls toward the end. He got hot. The touchdown before the end of the game. So they're basically their last touchdown. That ball he threw to Metcalf. I think that's the name, right? Number 14.
Yeah.
That ball that he threw. That ball was tremendous on that kind of semi fade. Semi back shoulder. I mean, Russell just zinged that thing up high.
Yeah, that was the one that he beat Witherspoon. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was. I mean, and he was well covered. That just was a ball that you want to throw to beat the corner. I mean,
that goes to what you're saying. You could be playing well, but still get beat, right? I mean, you could.
Yeah.
You could defend it.
I mean,
well.
That was a tremendous throw. Yeah, that was tremendous throw.
Yeah, that was. And the thing is,
he had several of them. One just that one.
Yeah. Well, and then you and I were texting actually in the third quarter when he had that touchdown pass when we thought he was beyond the line of scrimmage, and I forgot.
Yeah.
I had to go look up the rule because I didn't realize that your entire body has to be over the line of scrimmage. I thought it was the ball, but it's the entire body.
Yeah,
he barely tapped his foot behind the line. How did he even know exactly where he was? But he did.
I think he just got lucky.
Yeah,
honestly. I mean, he did slow down. He knew he was close.
Right.
I did not know that part of the rule. Not at all.
Do you think it was the ball, right? I forgot what you.
I thought it was the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the last part of your body, and he did. Body, yeah, and that one part of his foot wasn't across the line.
Yeah. I would have called it illegal forward pass. I mean, yeah, I didn't know that part of the rule. I guess we all learned something during the game.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something to learn. So that was good.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, playing without D Ford, and fortunately the 49ers are going to get him back, it looks like, for the playoffs here. But playing without him, a good point was made by the NBC broadcast and Chris Collinsworth. They were talking about how, you know, the other guys have had to play pretty much every down, and they're going to be tired by the end of the game. And maybe they were, but, I mean, because Armstead, Buckner, and Bosa, they were just playing so hard. Bosa made some great plays in this game, but, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you don't have one guy. You're missing him a lot.
Well, and did one of the guys got hurt on Friday in practice, didn't he? One of the defensive linemen, I thought I read, somebody tore an ACL.
Yeah, it was a DJ Jones. Maybe. That was before, but yeah, I mean they've definitely
maybe
been
it was.
Missing
maybe,
a bunch of guys. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's the three you mentioned, and then Solomon Thomas, and then there was a fifth guy. And that was basically all they had. They were rotating five guys. It seemed like to me anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you play with what you have. You didn't have Tart in your secondary. You didn't have D Ford. You haven't had him. You haven't had Quan Alexander. But all the other guys that stepped up. I mean, look, Greenlaw gets that opportunity, and then he comes up with that big play. You know, one thing I did want to ask you too is when you're switching a cornerback, going from Witherspoon, and then you're going to Mosley. A, isn't that a little risky because Mosley hadn't played in the game, and then you bring him in off the bench? And B, how come you don't have Richard Sherman maybe trying to cover somebody like Metcalf? If they're going to him one after the other, you know, just move it, make him cover Metcalf no matter where he lines up.
Good question. I would say with Richard, he's just so used to playing on the defensive left side, offensive right side. I think that would be hard for him. That's just my first thought. The other two guys are used to playing the defensive right side. So I think that's okay. The part that would worry me is just that a guy hasn't been over there the whole game. He hasn't been in much of the whole game and doesn't necessarily have a feel for the receiver. You know, so I think that was a little bit of a risk.
Yeah.
But I thought they both handled it pretty well. I mean, he's just a bigger, stronger guy.
Oh yeah, he's just tough to cover. Another question for you. I'm throwing some tough questions at you here. Another tough one. You start Tevin Coleman, and I guess he's just kind of been his starter. But for me, I'm starting Mostert. I mean, I would have been Breida. Because I am a big Breida fan, but man, Mostert is just hot. He is the hot running back. I would like to see him out there all the time.
He is hot, and I asked myself the same question in the beginning of the game when Coleman was in there. My answer to myself was that Kyle went with someone he knows, and he went with experience in a big game.
Yeah,
that was honestly my most simple answer because I questioned it too, like. Why is Raheem not out there? I mean, and he proved that he was still the hot guy. I mean, he made some nice runs, and obviously two touchdowns. So I kind of questioned it. Yes, I did question it, and my answer was he was going with experience.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, Matt Breida got in the doghouse as far as fumbles and maybe Mostert before, but I don't think he's fumbled in a long time now. I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with him carrying the ball the way he holds it now. Looks like he's not going to have fumbleitis.
Right. I would agree. No, I think he's obviously running with confidence and feels good. He's done some really good stuff, so. I would expect that we would see him. Obviously, they're still going to be rotating, but I would think that he's the main draw.
Definitely. And how about the way the receiving corps has come together? Because you know, throughout this season, it was really a topic of conversation. Like, who are they going to have as a go-to receiver? They trade for Emmanuel Sanders. That was huge. But Deebo Samuel has stepped up big time. I mean, we know about Kittle, and Kittle's having another great year, over 1,000 yards, and just, you know, you can't take him down. You can even hand the ball off to him. And the same thing with Samuel. I mean, he's like a running back at times. He has big runs that you're looking at. But at the same time, when you throw it to him and the yards after catch, just like Kittle, man, this guy is amazing. What a specimen he is.
We were not sure who was going to be the guy that stepped up in the beginning of the season, and it definitely played out. Samuels has been, Deebo has been, he's been terrific for a rookie. I mean, he can do it all, and it definitely played out. Some of those other guys are way in the doghouse. Pettis and And
Goodwin ended up being in the dugout for good.
Yeah. Anyway, it's
Bourne is still could be a factor, but definitely could be.
Oh,
there's
no question. Yeah. He's a definite factor. Yeah. No doubt. he's improved. He's improved from last year. And I know we talked a lot. I talked a lot about him last year. That I thought he was getting better every game, and I still do. So he's a definite factor. He's got a little more length. You know, runs good routes, and they're gonna definitely need him going forward.
And Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, we talked earlier in the year. It seemed like every game there'd be one mistake. You'd kind of shake your head a little bit, and you know you give him a pass because how many plays are there in a game? You make one mistake, but now he's just not making mistakes. He is not making mistakes in these games.
Really nice. I hadn't thought of that. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a good throw, and it was kind of like a wide receiver screen, but I think it was to. It might have been the Kittle.
Oh, when he just got clobbered?
It was out. it might have been. Might have been that one. But I thought to myself, oh, shoot, there was a game plan play that he felt like he had to throw because it really wasn't open. They didn't bite on it. And, it was one of those ones where, thank God, Kittle hung on to it because it could have.
He forced it in there, yeah.
It could have easily been. A catch, fumble, touchdown, right. Lateral, scoop and score. So I did have the thought on that one, though.
Yeah, no, that was the one where Kittle, they showed the replay, and he was just, he was exhaling and just we got away with one there.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah, those are tight. And by the way, Kittle's hands, man, he makes diving catches, and there are great tight ends. We've seen them throughout NFL history, and Brent Jones certainly one of them. But man, Kittle, the way he makes those catches, he's definitely joining the elite group in NFL history as far as wide receiver tight ends.
He's a good hands catcher. I mean, that first ball that he caught in the game was terrific. And he's proved what you're saying that. He can make those full two-handed catches, just snatching them out of the air.
Yeah, just amazing talent. All right, so week off for the 49ers, and then they get to see, who they end up playing because you got Minnesota playing New Orleans, Seattle playing Philadelphia. What do you think of these games? Who do you want to see if you're the 49ers? Because you get to see, as far as the seeding, the worst seeded team out of those.
I would say you want to see – Actually, I would say you want to see Philly is my guess.
And you could, you'd have to have. You'd have to have the Saints also win because
otherwise
it's Minnesota.
You could see Minnesota. That game down there is going to be a shootout.
Yeah, that's a six seed.
Two dome teams playing in a dome. That'll be a shootout. I don't know if Minnesota's good enough to beat New Orleans. New Orleans is playing really well right now. I would say Drew Brees is playing really well right now.
Yeah.
It very easily could be Seattle again. They have to go to Philly. But. Actually, I think they've already been there once this year, have they not? I think they played in Philly this year.
Yeah, I could see them winning, and I could see the Saints winning. So that means that you're playing the Seahawks.
Yeah. Exactly. So my pick would be Philly, only because I think they're playing the least best, if that's correct.
Out of the four teams that are playing, yeah.
So. I don't know.
Well, that would be fun for you because you played for the 49ers and you're from Philadelphia area, right?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty
good.
Fun.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. And we'll continue to podcast here in the playoffs. So I'll check in with you again here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. We'll
be talking about that game, which is Saturday the 11th at Levi's Stadium.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Look forward to it. Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again in a couple of weeks. after the 49ers divisional playoff game on Saturday, January the 11th. We'll be podcasting on Tuesday, the 14th. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.